May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 1089. Sold under sin was Paul's complaint. He felt its galling load, though he by calling was a saint and rightly taught of God. Hymn 1089.
Together from the Word of God, from the Book of Psalms, Psalm 106. Reading together from Psalm 106, I thought just to read a part of it, but I will read the whole. As it begins with praise and closes with the same words of praise, and in between there are many very solemn truths, but great mercies to follow. Psalm 106. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths, as through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan, and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God their Saviour, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them? Yea, they despised the pleasant land, they believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them, to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor, and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague brake in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed, and that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations for evermore. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake inadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel, and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant, and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to our hearts, and help us to call upon him at the throne of grace. O Lord, do help us to draw near unto thee. O pour forth the spirit of prayer and the grace of supplication. Let our words come from thee, Lord. Let our deep need be of thee, and put forth thy helping hand towards us. We each cry with that cry of the Syrophoenician woman, Lord, help me. Lord, we do need thy help this time. Oh, that thou wouldest bring us each into that true soberness of heart and of mind, and prepare each of our hearts to seek and to worship thee, and to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and be pleased, Lord, through thy spirit to be revealed unto us. For we come, Lord, poor and needy, and we come, Lord, before thee, O wholly depending and trusting in and upon thee, that thou wilt, Lord, appear and come and do something for us. Even, Lord, to draw our hearts and our minds up unto thee in faith and in love, that we might be enabled at this time to know and experience in our poor souls a little of the sweetness of union and communion with thee. Be pleased, Lord, to come to each one of us in a very real and personal way, and that thou wouldest indeed, we pray thee, send forth tokens of thy love and of thy mercy. O Lord, we have read of the very solemn account of the blessing that came to the children of Israel But oh, the solemn truth, their sad departing, following the greatness of their salvation, as it was literal, out of the hand of their enemies, that they truly did know thee to be their Redeemer. And we do pray, Lord, that we may be helped, Lord, to serve thee and to follow hard after thee, and that we may be brought to see and feel our need of thee as we journey on. For we understand, Lord, that we cannot keep ourselves, we cannot save ourselves. Oh, there is nothing in us by nature, Lord. We find, as we've sung together in our first hymn, the solemn depravity, the evil of a carnal nature, and oh, the solemn truth, Lord, oh, wretched man that I am, oh, a body of death, oh, Lord, brought to know and to feel it day by day. But oh, we do thank thee, Lord, that there is mercy in our God, mercy that publican cried for, and that mercy that he found in the precious blood of the dear Redeemer that did atone for all the sins of his people. And Lord, that is our only claim upon thee, what thou hast done for us. Oh, by grace, by love, by mercy, we thank thee, Lord. Oh, but do keep us, Lord, that we shall not depart from thee, or turn from thee, or be found, Lord, in the solemn truth of the place of the children of Israel, turning to idolatry, forgetting the greatness of their salvation. Oh, do, Lord, bring it into our poor minds time and again, the greatness and the blessedness of redeeming love and blood, and what thou didst come to do for sinners at Calvary. Oh, do, Lord, lead us on in our journeyings forth here below. Bring us, Lord, more and more into times and seasons, Lord, of felt union and fellowship to thee, and that we may know the blessing, Lord, continually, that where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. Oh, do, Lord, undertake for us, help us to continue in thy name. Bless our times and seasons of worship and devotion to thee. May we know, though poor and needy, Lord, and yet, Lord, the zeal upon our spirit for thy name, for thy gospel, for the blessings of thy promises, and oh, for all the comfort and peace that is found in and through a God in covenant with his people. Lord, we want these continued blessings in our souls as we journey on. We're here, Lord, below, but for a short time and a short season, 80 years, but there may be a few more if it will be thy will, but very short, Lord, that our lives indeed are as but a vapour that appeareth for a little while, then it vanisheth away. O Lord, do come to us each, Lord. Bless us with thy presence. Let it be known and felt. We thank thee, Lord, for the witness of the gospel in this thy house of prayer. Oh, have we got that witness in our poor souls? Oh, we want to know it, Lord. We want to feel it. Lord, we want to precious Christ to be revealed within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, do come to to us, Lord, and lift us up, Lord, above self, above this world. Be that altogether lovely one unto us, O Lord, we pray at this time, and help us, Lord, to rejoice in thy salvation, we pray thee. Do look down upon each one of us, Lord, as we have been spared again through this week to come into the means of grace, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, be with each one of us, Lord, and each case, each need is known, Lord, by thee. Oh, but have we, Lord, known what it is to tell thee all our heart, all our deep concerns? Have we prayerfully committed our all to thee, Lord? If that be the case, Lord, then do appear unto each poor needy soul, we pray thee at this time. Be unto each one prayer hearing and prayer answering according to thy promise. And oh, we do pray, Lord, out of thy fullness, Lord, come, that there is not one poor sinner, Lord, that is found outside of the blessing of thy gospel grace. That grace, Lord, which was put forth to sinners, that abounded and covered all their sins. Oh, that there is not one, Lord, that shall remain outside of that grace. Not one, Lord, shall ever be left to fall beneath the everlasting arms of love and mercy. And so, Lord, what a mercy it is that we can come to thee and that we can commit our all to thee, whatsoever our need may be at this time. And Lord, we pray that thy salvation may come to sinners. Oh, let thy gospel have free course, not only in this day in which we live, but this day, Lord. But oh, we want that gospel, Lord, to enter into our poor souls. We want to know what that joyful sound is, the people that are blessed under that joyful sound, that joyful sound to sinners, even the pardon and the forgiveness of all sin. Oh, is there any more joyful sound than that to a poor soul seeking mercy, Lord? Do come, we pray thee, to each, gather in all those ordained to eternal life, and we pray that it may be all that gather together here in thy name, that the secret of thy dying love, Lord, may be known and felt and understood in each poor soul. Lord, send none empty away, Lord, without this blessed and glorious truth in their souls, we pray thee. And so, Lord, appear unto us each. Bless us with the comforts, the peace of the gospel. Bring our souls into a little gospel rest in the Lord Jesus, Lord. Oh, we need these things, Lord. Oh, do come and support and strengthen us by thy Spirit with might in the inner man, Lord. Help us to continue, Lord, against all enemies, world, flesh and devil, the temptations of Satan, Lord. Oh, we do need thee, Lord, that thou wilt be our helper, that we may be enabled, Lord, to flee from this world and all its cares and all its concern and vanity, and to know Jesus alone to be that one thing needful to us, Lord. Help each of thy sent servants this day, Lord. Help them to stand forth upon the walls of Zion. Lord, give them thy word to preach and to speak in thy name, Lord, and use them as instruments of usefulness in thy hand. Oh, to be enabled to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray thee, Lord. A precious Christ revealed to sinners. precious Christ in all the gospel, all the blessings that it contains for us. O Lord, comfort thy people then, Lord, and come to their needs. And we do pray, Lord, be with each unable to attend with us at this time. Prayerfully commit them into thine ever merciful hands. Draw near to them, Lord. Lord, give them a little succour and strength in their souls. Cause their poor souls to dwell upon the blessedness of thy precious blood and righteousness. Oh, there is no more comfort to the soul of a poor sinner than to know that precious blood that did for sin atone, and an entrance and a way into heaven for the guilty. Oh, what wondrous things are shown to us in thy gospel, Lord, shown to sinners, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, draw near to them. Be with each one of us now, Lord. Help thy servant to speak in thy name. Show him what to say, Lord. Be revealed to him through thy Spirit, and also, Lord, to thy people, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, that there may indeed be blessings for each one of us, sower and reaper together. Precious Christ revealed in all the gospel, we ask these mercies with the pardon and the forgiveness of all our sins, and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 218. Mercy is welcome news indeed to those that guilty stand. Wretches that feel what help they need will bless the helping hand. Hymn 218.
Thank you.
Seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the psalm that we read together, Psalm 106, and reading together from verse 4. Psalm 106, reading together from verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. This, of course, is a most wonderful psalm in that it begins with praise and thanksgiving to the Lord for all his goodness, and that his mercy endureth forever. And then also it doth close with the same praise ye the Lord as it began with praise ye the Lord. Oh, but how solemn are those things that we read together in the middle. The solemn truth of the children of Israel. The great blessing that they found. The Lord came to them, appeared for them in their wretched state and condition. He heard their cry. He delivered them, gave them salvation full and free. And then, dear friends, the psalmist goes on in verse 6, we have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Oh, we were no better than they were. No better at all. Oh, since the Lord came in his rich mercy to us, delivered us, saved us, brought us to experience the Red Sea of his precious blood to cleanse us and to heal us, where have we been since then, dear Lord? Where have we been? Our minds gathered to all manner of thing, all sorts of little idolatries in our lives. Our lives seem as if at times overtaken with much of time and sense. Yes. Turned our back upon the Lord, forgotten the Lord. Yes. Were we any better than they were? No, we were not. We may then understand this prayer, and we may call it a cry. Remember me, O Lord. No better than they were. And dear friends, I don't know how it is with you. It is so with me. Much to confess, much to repent of, day by day. Backslidings, forgetfulness, waywardness, evil hearts, body of death, no different to they. We may understand then the words of the psalmist here. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. You see, he wanted this also. He wanted again to come into the blessing of this word. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Perhaps it may be our prayer. Perhaps it may be a cry in our poor souls. This cry of the psalmist, that we were no better than they. Oh, dear friends, brought time and again to see the solemn truth of our poor hearts. We cannot keep ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. There is nothing in us by nature, and when dear friends or old nature comes in, dear friends, we're carried away. This cry then, and oh, it was a cry from the heart, dear friends. Perhaps you may be looking inwardly. Perhaps you may now see what might be in your life. How that you've treated the Lord. How that you've departed from him. I confess it day by day. And then this prayer. Remember me, O Lord. This one, poor and weak and helpless. Remember me, O Lord. One who has no good thing to be found within him. Remember me, O Lord. One who is unworthy of the least of all the mercy and the truth which thou hast shown unto him. Oh, remember me, O Lord. One, indeed, who feels so much more of a separation than a felt nearness to the Lord. Oh, remember me, O Lord. Come to my case. Come to my need. Remember me, O Lord. Remember me. And in that remembrance, we want the Lord to look down upon us. We want the Lord to come to us. We want the Lord to come in his rich mercy and appear. Remember me, O Lord. What a cry has been put into the soul of the psalmist here. But what a mercy it will be if the Lord, in his richness and in his grace, has put this cry into our poor souls. We may have come to the Lord's house this morning, so dead and dark within, so cold and faint, you see, so poor, spiritually impoverished, helpless, weak and insufficient. Remember me, O Lord. It's a good prayer, dear friends. Remember me in all my helpless state and condition. Look down upon me, Lord, because I cannot rise up myself. There is nothing in me, Lord, to bring me near to thee. Remember me, O Lord. Have we come to the Lord's house? Remember me, O Lord. Have we committed our cause to the Lord in the pews of the house? Remember me, O Lord. And I just thought of this remembrance in just one or two instances that I knew of them. I don't want to dwell at length on this part of the text, but oh, what a mercy it is to ask the Lord to come and to remember us. Because, dear friends, we're not deserving of it. We're not deserving of it. May none of us here think we are. Not in and of ourselves. Not when we're brought to consider so much of our waywardness and the way that we treat the Lord. And when he's done so greater things for us. In another place, the psalmist, it was David here, he said this truth, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. According to thy mercy, remember thou me. Why? Because of the plague and the trouble of his sins, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. And it doesn't mean just to say the sins of past days and or of his youth. It means the sins up to that present time with him. It's no good just thinking of sins past, dear friends. What about yesterday's sins? What about today's sins? But remember me, oh, according to his mercy, do we come to the Lord in this great attitude of prayer and supplication, pleading for that mercy. It was the mercy that the publican did plead for. He was burdened with his sins. Oh, but what is in his prayer? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's saying, oh Lord, remember me. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. He didn't want those past sins and sins yesterday and sins today and sins present, dear friends, to come in and upon him and to swallow up his poor soul. He didn't want that. Neither did the publican. And neither will you and I, dear friends, if we're rightly exercised in respect of our sins. We want them cleared. We want them dealt with. We want them put away. Because they burden. Our hymns have indicated that. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. What a mercy it is that the Lord would be pleased to show to us our peace and pardon through his precious blood. There is no greater boon to our poor souls, dear friends, to know that we are pardoned sinners. I just thought of that case of Anna. She was a poor thing. She was helpless. She was weak. She knew her own insufficiency. But she knew the throne of grace. Oh, she knew where mercy was found. And oh, dear friend, she never left the throne of grace. Yes, sometimes it may be thought that our case is so impossible, but she never thought that. No. She came to the Lord. Yes, she was one, indeed, who was barren, unable to bear. And it was a reproach, you see, because of the inheritances and so forth, and because she wanted a man-child from her husband, and she wanted one from the Lord. And she said, look on the affliction of thine handmaid. Are we in trouble, dear friends? Are we in trials and difficulties? Is there something too hard, dear friends, that we cannot indeed manage, that we cannot perhaps understand? Is it a mountain before us? Some difficulty in our lives? Some trouble that we're hardly able to bear? Cannot suffer? Look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me. Remember me. Hear my poor prayer. Remember me in mine affliction. She doesn't plead any good that was in her, no. But we know this, that the Spirit of the Lord was in her and put a cry into her poor soul. But she had nothing good of her own to plead. No, nothing at all. Oh, but this truth, remember me, and not forget thine handmaid. Are we in trouble, dear friends? Affliction, trials? Come to the Lord. Nothing is impossible with him. That mountain can be made into a plain. The rough place is plain. Yes. One who is mighty and almighty. One who is able to do great things. And so another remembrance which I would just bring before you before we move on. There was one, dear friends, burdened with sin. The Holy Spirit had taught him. He was a thief, a robber. And it's likely, yes, that he had committed some murder. Because his crime, dear friends, was he was being crucified. And a thief, in general, was not subject to that punishment. But the Holy Spirit taught him his sin, taught him how vile he was, taught him how evil he was, taught him how it was worthy to suffer that he was passing through. But there was something more than this. You see, the just wrath of God, the hell that was deserving to him for his sin, you see. And it's deserving to us all for sin. Hell. We have to be clear about this. If sin isn't cleared up, dear friends, then it is hell. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Here is the poor sinner brought to feel his need in Jesus. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Dear friends, is it thy case? Is it thy need? Lord, remember me. One now confessing, one now repenting, one now laid low and burdened and guilty through sin, feeling my ruin, absolutely. But one hope, one mercy left. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. I just want to speak of thy people because it is an important part of this text. Because it isn't to everyone, dear friends. I have to speak like this. I was outside of this secret once myself. In my sins and iniquities, and I was not one of the people of God as I knew and understood it in my experience. What a mercy it is to be one of God's chosen and peculiar people. Dear friends, it is his sovereign choice of some from lost mankind, that he would have a people to be his people, a people who were not a people, but are now the people of God. How are they made to be the people of God? He is the husbandman, we are his husbandry. He has fashioned us, he has made us to be what we are, dear friends. Vessels of mercy. Grace has done it. Grace is able to do it. And only grace. It is all of free and sovereign grace to be one of God's people. One of the family of his grace, one of his children. This the psalmist was blessed with. And that couldn't be taken away from him. It was his plea. The truth is here. With the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. If he did not know that he was one of his people, he could never know and plead this favour. And we cannot. See, dear friends, it's all what our God has done in Jesus, isn't it? Yes. The church was given to him from before time. And Jesus came and through his sufferings and death reconciled again the church unto him, who were dead in sins but reconciled now through the blood and righteousness of Jesus unto God the Father, that we should be the people of God. And dear friends, that is the greatest blessing that can come to the soul of a poor sinner. I just thought of that word. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord has done it. We haven't done it. For himself. It is all of free and sovereign grace. His choice. Oh, but what a mercy it is to be one of these, so blessed in the soul, to be the people of God. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. With this favour, it is indeed the good pleasure of our God towards his people, his good pleasure towards them. This is his favour to us, his people. And I just want to speak it in those things that we may just know and experience in our lives today. And I thought first really of all the blessings that are found in the covenant of God's grace. Can any poor soul seek and pray for any more blessing than what flows out of God's covenant of grace to his people? Oh, to be found inside of it. Oh, to be one of those where Father, Son, and Spirit were each engaged and each in harmony to all the blessings of the salvation that is found in the covenant of grace towards the sinful race of people. Isn't that our beginning, dear friends? Wasn't this the solid foundation, dear friends, to which indeed our salvation came? It was. That's where God began with us. I know that it was in his eternal and everlasting love to love a people, but the covenant of grace was where he engaged to show that love to his people. And what a favour it is. What a blessing it is to the soul. To be one of those, dear friends, when Father, Son, and Spirit were all set forth, contemplating the greatness of this salvation. I know that in that sense that we know of it, of the planning and sort of the scheming of it and the raising up of it, dear friends, we can't understand this, but salvation's plan was all worked out in the covenant of grace. And what a glorious plan it was. Why? Because it was towards a sinful race of men and women that should be lost and ruined in the fall. God knew of the fall. And then, remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. You see, bared unto them. It was a favour that was going to belong to them. It was a favour that was going to be blessed to them. A favour that was going to be opened up to their poor minds. Bearest. It's freely, freely the blessings of salvation. With the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Can we understand the blessings of this favour in the wholeness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And isn't this favour all built up and all blessed in and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? If God handeth any favour to a poor soul, it is through Jesus. Because that is where God's goodness, that is where God's mercy, that is where God's grace, that is where his favour will be shown and revealed to a poor sinner. It's in Jesus and all the precious truths of the gospel. Do we want to know something, dear friends, of this rich favour of our God in Jesus? Well, Jesus came. That was the favour and that was the blessing. And he came and procured salvation for his people. And at Calvary, it certainly here will not be the blessing in the fullness of it as it would be to the psalmist, as it is to us today. Because Jesus has come. He has walked out a path here below. And in that 3.5 years, a glorious ministry and salvation and blessings were procured for sinful people, sinful men and women. And all the glorious words that he spake, the glorious promises. And then we have the glory of Gethsemane and Calvary. And this is the blessing and the mercy. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. What a mercy it is. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Do we know this joyful sound? Here, dear friends, is the richest favour of our God. This is where he has declared his mercy and his goodness. And this favour will come into the soul of a poor sinner in this joyful sound of the gospel. And it is the blessedness of a full and a free salvation unto sinners. In and through the cross of Jesus, here is his finished work, and here is God's brightest glory, the redemption of the church through the precious blood of the Lamb of God. What favour, dear friends, is held out to poor guilty sinners who spared not his own son. Think of it, dear friends. Spared not his own son. Why? For a vile, sinful wretch as I, and as you, if you may feel the truth of it, spared not his own son. Can there be any greater favour and blessing towards any people? No. And then what more can we know and discover in respect of this mercy, forgiveness of sins? That is a favour divine, dear friends. It is a favour, dear friends, which we shall ever praise and bless our God for, that we were brought to confess and blessed with the spirit of repentance in our souls. Isn't that, dear friends, one of the greatest favours? A poor coming soul to the cross of Jesus? Is there anything more blessed than that, dear friends? With all the burden of sin, and as we have sung together, all our debts, 500 pence, sinners, debtors. But it doesn't matter the multitude of our sins. It's the precious infinite blood of Jesus. Oh, dear friends, it covered the mass of not only our sins personally, but the sins of the whole church. And when he cried, "It is finished," it was done. The church were safe. But in an experience, we come into the blessedness of it. Son, daughter, thy sins be forgiven thee. You see, this is a favour, dear friends. And it's beyond conception great, isn't it? A love shown to sinners. And we cannot come into the blessedness of this love, can we? Very difficult for us to trace it out, dear friends, because of what we were by nature. And the preciousness of it, the unspeakable gift of his dearly beloved Son. Oh, a favour most divine. And then the poor soul can enter into all the comforts and the blessings of the gospel. All the promises of God are yea and in him amen, to the glory of God by us. All the promises of the gospel belong to the poor sinner. And I find this, dear friends, to be a most blessed and a glorious truth. Oh, I do. All things are yours. The ministers of the gospel are yours. The preaching of the gospel is yours. The precious Christ is yours. The world is ours, life is ours, death is ours, because Jesus has conquered every one of them for us. He has given the church the victory. Favour. And then, dear friends, let us just see those favours today. There's a witness here. In this locality of God's grace and mercy. Is it a desire in thy soul that thou wouldest be one of those under this favour of God, to be accounted one of those in that great number which no man can number, whose names were enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life? Dear friends, do not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to all them that believe. Is that what you have come to the Lord's house for this morning? You see, it's a rich favour, dear friends. And he has a witness of truth here. Why? Because, dear friends, we believe and we hope that it will be the truth that he has a people yet to call. Oh, do we want to be one of that number? And so it will continue. And we pray for this, from the eldest to the youngest, do we not? The Lord knows how his servant prays continually that those whom he preaches amongst will know the secret of Christ's dying love to sinners at Calvary. Nothing more blessed than that, dear friends, so that not one shall be left out of the secret of his dying love. And this is a favour of our God, that there is this witness here, this testimony, that he has a people. And then, dear friends, this truth and this blessing, that he might have mercy upon thee, that he might, dear friends, account thee to be one of that number. Oh, does this put thee upon praying ground? Lord, remember me. With the favour that thou bearest unto thy people, and this people, they're a people so blessed, because they now have a prophet, priest and a king, and a prophet to come amongst them and to preach the gospel, Jesus. Oh, it is the word of the Lord, dear friends, not the word of a man and the word of a creature. It's the Lord that speaks through the ministry of the word. Is the Lord speaking to thy soul? Is it a word in season to thee? Is it a word that was blessed to poor Mary, one thing needful, to live upon his word, his truth and promises? That is what we want, isn't it, dear friends? See the blessing of the word that was shown to those two on the Emmaus Road. I believe that they spoke of that event and that circumstance all their life through. It was a visit from the Lord, wasn't it? Yes. His word. And have we come for a word in season for our poor souls? What are those words in season, dear friends? Or whatever our case and our need might be, dear friends, the Lord will never leave nor forsake his people. No, it's a promise from the Lord. And dear friends, he will never break it. He will never lose any one of his dear people. We may forsake him, solemnly we do, and solemnly we confess it, but he will never forsake his people. Why? He gave them to Jesus. None shall pluck them out of his hand. Isn't that a great blessing to the soul of the Lord's dear people? It must be inside of this favour, because of our waywardness. But then there is another truth. Let us see how near Jesus is to his people and how he loves them and how he cares for them. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Oh, what a favour this is, dear friends. The Lord so intimately acquainted with each and every one of his dear people, so near to them. Read Psalm 139. Connect it with those words. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. You see, they all belong to Christ, all his dear people. It shows, dear friends, that they're the apple of his eye. It shows the great union. My beloved is mine and I am his. We may not feel it, dear friends, at all times, but it is unalterable. When he says the very hairs of your head are all numbered, dear friends, it will be to our dying day until we come to heaven. It isn't just for a few moments. And then another blessed and glorious truth. The word that he spake unto his servant Jacob, I will be with thee and keep thee in all places whither thou goest. Has he ever moved away from thee, dear? He may have hid his face. Oh, but his presence was still there. It just wasn't known and felt. But the promise held good for Jacob all his life. All his life, that promise was to Jacob. Jacob brought him to the end of his days. This prophet that speaks to his people. And oh, this is the blessing of this word. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me or ruled over me all my life long unto this day. And it will be to his last day. Till he bringeth his poor soul to heaven. You see. As the Lord bless this word to us. I will be with thee and keep thee. You see, it's his presence, isn't it? Isn't that one of the most divine favours of our God? Always with and near to his people. A favour, dear friends. And I speak another favour, and I just thought of this word because it is a word connected with favour. He says, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous, with favour wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Oh, dear friends, this truth will bless the righteous, with favour wilt thou compass him as with a shield. All about him, on every side, on every hand, the poor soul is encompassed. And encompassed with favour. What is that favour, dear friends? Why, the Lord will be a shield unto us. The Lord will protect us. The Lord will defend us. He will put a wall of fire round about us. The wall of his divine love. The wall of his all-sufficient grace. The wall of his providence. All about us. Is there anything more blessed? And it really, truly is favour, isn't it? With favour wilt thou compass him as with a child. You know, the Lord is always with us, though we may not know the blessing in our own souls, that we're always with him. He's always with us. We want to feel his presence. We want to come into his presence. May that be one of our cries, one of our prayers. To seek after him, to know him. I just think of a word in Colossians and the blessing of it. We'll have to just close on our latter part, and it is a good part. But this truth, dear friends, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things that are above, not on things on the earth. Dear friends, what a mercy it is to seek that union and fellowship with Christ. To seek after him, not only just in the means of grace as we do now, which must always indeed be the greatest blessing and favour, but, dear friends, in every part of our lives. Seek those times and seasons to draw near to the Lord, to seek union and fellowship with. When I say union, I say it in this way. There is a union that subsists between the Lord's dear people that will never be broken, never be severed. That union always remains. It's steadfast. It's sure. No devil will break through it and separate that union between Christ and his people. No, dear friends. It's that everlasting love of our God. Who can break through that, dear friends? Because it's towards the sinner and it's in the soul of the sinner. But it's a union. Seeking to draw near to him. seeking to behold him again and again as the altogether lovely one, seeking a word in season from his soul. It may be seeking him in prayer. Prophet, priest, our great high priest above, whoever liveth to make intercession for us, another favour divine, and then King of Kings to reign over us all our lives, to manage and to govern and to rule in every part of our lives. Oh, we have to say this, dear friends, do we not? That the Lord would be pleased to do it, and we would be blessed that he would do it. Because sometimes we think we might ought to have our own way. Let us be submissive to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, visit me in thy salvation. Oh, visit me in thy salvation. This salvation that we more oft ought to contemplate. This salvation that came so full and free to sinners. This salvation that is the glory of our God. This salvation that is the blessing of our God poured out towards poor, needy sinners, even in Jesus. Visit me with thy salvation. Visit me and show to me again the bonds of thy love to my poor soul. Let me see that love again in my salvation in Jesus, in his sufferings and in his death at Calvary. Let that love melt my cold. Let that love melt my hard heart. Let that love soften my hard heart. You see, do we contemplate our salvation? Have we asked the Lord for a visit? It's a visit, dear friends, to realize again and again the blessedness of our salvation. It is that blessedness in Jesus. It is that blessedness in his sufferings and in his death. See how that 500 pence debtor beheld him. She came and washed his feet with the tears of penitence and wiped them with the hairs of her head. She said nothing, but Jesus was her great salvation. Why? Because she loved much, because she had been forgiven much. Oh, do we contemplate that, dear friends? Another visit, that we're pardoned sinners, that Jesus has paid all our debts at Calvary, washed them away forever, that we should never know the solemn truth of sin within us, and it must be so to be accepted of God. You see, well, what great salvation this is. And then see that salvation, dear friends. Simeon was blessed in his soul. Is there any more peace for the soul than this great salvation? Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh, he held up the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb, in his arms. He saw by faith his great salvation in Jesus, and he was now in peace. Do we know this peace that is in this salvation? Is it a peace that has come into our poor souls betimes and settled all matters for us? A peace, dear friends. And truly it must be that peace that passeth all understanding. Jesus in the room and the place of the sinner. Oh, that peace-speaking blood that he shed for sinners. Is there anything more blessed? That peace in reconciling sinners unto his heavenly Father. This is our salvation. And dear friends, the poor sinner is clothed in that salvation with a robe of righteousness which will adorn the soul, which Jesus worked out for the soul of the sinner. And it will never be changed, dear friends. It will never be taken off. It will never lose its luster. It's always on the poor soul. It cannot be taken away. The King's daughter is all glorious within. You see, this is our salvation. And then, dear friends, have you contemplated your heaven? Jesus has made a way there through the cross. His precious blood. He's now entered into that place at the right hand of the Father, because that is where his people will be brought to him. And Jesus will do the work. And this is the salvation. It's unto the uttermost, even everlasting life. This is our salvation. It's all glorious, dear friends. And where were we to receive this salvation? Why, we were brought to nothing to receive this salvation. We were brought helpless and poor and needy, and we came with nothing in our hands, just pleading for this mercy. It was full and free. Salvation, it's in Jesus. It's in what we enjoy today, in the gospel, the good news, the blessings. Ah, dear friends, oh, visit me with thy salvation. Oh, do we ask the Lord to bring us again and again to those times and seasons where the Lord would be pleased to shed abroad his love into our poor souls. Reveal the greatness and the blessedness of his cross. Sweet the moments rich in blessing which before the cross I spend. Oh, as he brought us there a few times, dear friends, this is our great salvation. Oh, may we be constantly reminded of it. May we be constantly brought into the blessing and the pleasure of it and the favour of it. Because we're on the way to heaven, dear friends. And we may be nearer there than we think. And so we want those continued tokens in the way. May the Lord bless these few remarks. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £730, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Hart will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 739. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. Hymn 739.
Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.